Thank you for joining us here on the Radio Bible Course. We're continuing our study of John chapter 20. Mary Magdalene has asked for the body of Jesus and referred to the body as her Lord. And I pointed out in our program yesterday that she didn't understand that a body is not a person. She's looking for the body, but she refers to it as a him and as her Lord. The Bible teaches us that once we die, we are no longer a person. The body is here, but it is like a house from which the members have departed. It's also referred to as a tent or a temporary dwelling. You see, this body houses the spirit, and the spirit cannot be killed. Spirits don't die. It is God's plan, and he has revealed it in his word, that when a believer dies, his spirit leaves the body and goes to be with the Lord. Paul expressed that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which we read yesterday, where he said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And again, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, he said, but I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for this is very much better. Better than what? Well, Paul believed it was better to go to be with Christ than stay down here on the earth. But he concludes in the next verse that they need him here, so he was content to stay. But what is Paul's desire? His desire is to leave this body and to be with his Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, that is faith. That's based on the promise of Jesus. In John chapter 11, we earlier studied that when Jesus came to the home of Lazarus, a dear friend, and met his sister Martha, she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now, she said, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Well, Jesus often talked about the resurrection. People don't die permanently. That's not the end of it all, friends. I remember a friend of mine telling me of a man who said he didn't believe there was any life after death, but he wished he could be sure of that. He would like to believe that when we die it's all over, but he feared that indeed there might be a judgment and that the dead might rise. Well, according to Jesus Christ, we will all rise, whether we are believers or not. Now, believers will be raised 1,000 years before non-believers, at least 1,000 years. We read about that in Revelation chapter 20 that tells us about that time when Satan himself will be chained in the bottomless pit, and Christ will rule for 1,000 years. And then it tells us that after that 1,000 years, the rest of the dead, not counting believers, the rest of the dead will be raised. And then it talks about the great white throne judgment, how the books will be opened and everyone will be judged according to his deeds. They're judged according to their deeds because God is fair. They wanted to be judged according to their deeds instead of believing in Jesus Christ. God had a faith way to save them, but they rejected it. and they insisted on a merit way of salvation, so God will be fair and give them a fair trial. He'll open the books and show them what they have done and what they have not done, and they will all fail the test. Now, so we have in the Scripture the resurrection of the good and the resurrection of the bad. There is a resurrection of both, and it's at a different time. I am not often called to conduct funeral services, but my message at a believer's funeral are the same thoughts that Paul has given us, along with the coming resurrection of believers when the voice of the archangel sounds and the dead in Christ rise. Paul discussed this in his first letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve, as do the rest, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This is a clear teaching that Jesus Christ someday will return. This talks about his return in the air, not to the earth. This is not his second coming to the earth, to rule and to sit on his glorious throne. This often is called the rapture, a word which is not found in our English Bibles, but which is found in the Latin translation. And it means to snatch up. And that word is in verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up or snatched up together with them in the clouds. One scholar has referred to this as the great snatch. Did you know that this could happen today or tomorrow? It's going to happen. That's just as certain as the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because God has promised it. This is a revelation which Paul got from our Lord himself. And he writes it so that we'll be comforted by this. Now, if it were not true, the comfort is false, and we are deceived. Now, in this text, Paul talked about those who are asleep. What does that mean? Well, it refers to the dead. It's a gentle word for those who have died. And it's a proper word because everyone who dies will be awakened in the future. There will be a resurrection. So sleep is a proper term, and even unbelievers will be awakened. But notice in verse 14 how Paul ties our resurrection, the assurance of it, to the fact that Jesus died and rose again. He wrote, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." What does "in Jesus" mean? Well, it's the same expression that we find throughout the New Testament, 196 times, usually translated "in Christ." It refers to that position that those who believe in him have, because they are united to him. And Paul explains here that when that day comes, when that trumpet sounds and we hear the voice of the archangel, those who are dead Christians will be raised in the same body that they had when they were put in the grave. How can this be? Hasn't the body decayed and turned to dust? Indeed it has, but that's no problem with God, who made man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him life. It doesn't matter whether a person has been blown apart by a bomb or eaten by sharks. God will bring that body back together. All bodies will be raised, and then what? Their spirits will rejoin those bodies. Their spirits have been with the Lord. But their spirits will return with the Lord and meet those bodies and be rejoined to them. And then something marvelous is going to happen according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We will all be changed. There'll be a new life, a new body. Mortality will take on immortality. And corruption will take on incorruption. That change rests in the power and the promise of God. He's going to take care of that problem. So we'll then meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air, and be taken to heaven to be with Him. It may be that we really don't believe, as Christians, that this will happen. But Paul urged the truth to be used for the comfort of those who mourn over the death of a loved one. He wants us to know that they will indeed rise and they will live forever. Well, the angels in John chapter 20, verse 13, say nothing more to Mary. She turns around and she sees another person, and it's Jesus, but she didn't know his identity. He asked the identical question of her, which the angels asked, "Why are you weeping?" And then he adds this, "Whom do you seek?" Not "what do you seek," but "whom." She was seeking a what, but he is a person, and he wants her to focus on a person because Jesus is no longer dead. She came looking for a corpse, and if she had found one, she would be no different from so many pagans and other people in other religions who follow a dead leader. The Christian faith is the only one that has a resurrected leader and savior. That, friends, is good news. From time to time, I am asked by people interested in the Bible, "I want to get some teaching tapes. What should I begin with first?" And my answer always is understanding the New Testament. It will change your thinking about the Bible. It will give you understanding that will help you to better interpret the Bible. And it will help you to resolve some of the apparent conflicts between the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of the Apostle Paul. You'll learn that there are two religions in the Bible, and you will learn where one ends and the other begins. And of course, this will help you to apply the Bible to yourself accurately. Write today for information about understanding the New Testament. Until next week, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.